the Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gain and power influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinani, Eric A. Sinani, Eric Sinani, right here on the Hostile Zone on your FM dial 99.9 KKTC, True Country, True America, and it's always True Sinani. I'm here today, another day, another American dollar or maybe less with inflation. Miss Bianca C. has the night off. She is recording a song. Welcome to the show. We have a lot to cover in a short time because we there's such news coming in that we have information that is flowing consistently. I also want to, we have somebody here with us from the team that's going to help with some of the analysis. I'd like to introduce Carrie to the show. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. How are you today?
I am doing awesome.
Good, good, good. And since it's an action-packed news day, I'm not gonna get too much into more about you. We'll do that on next week's show, on Monday's show. We're just gonna get into the news, but we're gonna have you take part in the analysis. Sound good?
Okie dokie.
All right. So tonight we're gonna delve into one issue dealing with tensions between the United States and Russia. But then we pulled back the show a little bit because of the Supreme Court having a decision regarding the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution regarding gun rights. So it's kind of like shortened show because we were waiting to see what that decision would be, and I didn't want you folks out there that are watching or listening to the show or catching it later in a podcast or wherever to not have the most up-to-date information. So bear with us on a little bit of a shorter show, but at least you're getting fresh information. So if you need to reach the show, it's thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, Eric Sinani at bbstalkradio.com, and Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean, at bbstalkradio.com, and always Eric at ericandrewsinani.com. All right, welcome to the show, folks. It is a wonderful Friday. I hope that everybody is looking forward to a wonderful weekend. If you're getting ready to go out for the evening, have a responsible, good, enjoyable evening. But remember, drink responsibly. If you indulge, don't indulge too much and don't drink and drive. Sinani says, no good drinking and driving. All right. So there's some developing interest in the United States and Russia right now. There's been some development with kind of like a feeling of Cold War coming back again. Russian submarines have been detected along the United States coast. Now, folks, we're not here to try to alarm anybody. There's been no direct threats. There's no credible information or intelligence or active intelligence stating that there is a reason for anybody to be nervous or anything. We're just reporting what is going on. So they have been detected patrolling off the waters of the United States. They have not entered into our waters. However, they have been patrolling the waters around the United States. They are planning to make a port call in Cuba. If you remember, those of you that are old enough, or if you're a historian, or if you're listening to this show, you're very collegiate, so you would know that we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it was all over missiles and Soviet Union missiles in Cuba. Well, Russia is intending to bring a submarine into port in Cuba. And these actions are obviously slightly provoking, maybe a strategic stance from Putin about Russian might and dominance in an ever-changing geopolitical environment. Maybe it's a statement to say that they are there and they're not afraid. Who really knows? But it's there. But you do know that we have Guantanamo Bay, a United States Navy base in Cuba. If you don't know, a big fence line, and the base is there. The military does not walk into Cuba and walk out. It is a closed base. U.S. personnel on that base do not. There's no gates to drive in and out of Cuba. So we do have a base there with assets and all the things that you would expect on a military base. So keep that in mind. Cuba is 90 miles from Key West, Florida. So we basically have United States assets and Russian assets right on top of each other. So it is a little bit of a stance. Maybe it's a geopolitical maneuver on Mr. Putin's part, President Putin's part. Who knows? Me, your correspondent, I am just giving you what I have, pulling back that curtain, calling a spade a spade. And started off with a little quote today. The Russians are coming, and they are coming not just as tourists, but as symbols of their nation's military prowess and geopolitical ambition. Interesting quote. Take that for what you will. I thought that would, whoever found that was popping up, trending around. So there it is. What do you think there, Carrie? You with us?
Yes, I'm with you. To me, that's kind of, scary when you think about it.
It is, right? A little unnerving, I guess, right?
For the yes. Least. Makes you uncomfortable.
I don't think that there is any ill intent on Russia's part, on President Putin's part, to recreate the Cold War or to actually have an engagement. I mean, right? Don't you agree?
I agree.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, I think it's a statement. I think that it might be a time for the United States to look at where we stand and how people are perceiving our American might and American power. The perception, is like a large number here. Perception is more than anything else. How you look is like 90% of your success. So what are we showing the rest of the world? What do we look like that they can do this? Now, I will throw a caveat in there, and it's not in my notes for today, but I am going to add it because I know about this, and I find that it's very relevant. But there have been several incidents with the United States and Russia within the past year or two, where there has been ships and bombers flying close to the United States, waters, and not close to our land, but the waters. We have a certain amount of mileage off the coast that is U.S. waters, and then it's international waters. So they're free to fly these things and their bombers and fighter jets and et cetera, wherever they will in international waters. However, it is very close to the United States boundaries, similar to this situation in Cuba. There also was a couple incidents where in international airspace that there has been Russian fighter jets getting very close in, another show of might, a show of force, I don't really know, but getting very close to other aerial assets of the United States, whatever the plane or jet might be that was flying, military jet we're talking, so that's going on. We also know about, Russia's talk about maybe having the ability to use nuclear detonation in satellite, in orbit, to take out a satellite. There's a lot of trending stuff. What say you, Carrie?
it just kind of looks like they're saying, you know what, we're here, don't forget us.
Yeah, right? I mean, and if that's the case, then that's fine, you know? But if that's not, I mean, I don't think anybody wants an engagement. I mean, I don't think that even in the Cold War, no one was ever close to pushing the button, because everybody knows that you do that, we're going to do that, and we annihilate each other and we annihilate other people. So it's more of a safety precaution to have these abilities, but this Russian submarine is nuclear capable, folks. Not reporting that we know for a fact what's on it, but we do know that this class of submarine that NATO recognizes, it is nuclear capable. To that, what extent, I don't know. And we're not going to report any further on that. We don't know, though. We do know that there is the potential for it to carry nuclear warheads, which would place nuclear assets, Russian assets, within 100 miles of American landmass, which would obviously be a problem, which clearly was a problem when President John F. Kennedy, put the embargo on them, and we shut the waterways down because there was going to be missiles there. So I don't think that's where we're heading, anything crazy like that at this point. But, you know, it is something to keep in mind. It is like a strategic kind of timing, because there is heavy tensions tightening with Ukraine over U.S. Providing money and potentially having assets on the ground in Ukraine, and Ukraine's continual fight against Russia, and, you know, their battle that's been going on there for quite a while. And, you know, let's not forget about the Middle East. Again, thank God that's not really involved in this, but there is obviously still tensions going on over there. So it's not a good time all around. So I don't know if it's strategic timing on them bringing this submarine into Cuba, but it sure does ring a lot of bells and raise some hair on your neck, right? I mean, right, Carrie?
Yes.
You know, also to keep in mind, there is the diplomatic implications that could, you know, that come into play here. We clearly, number one, strengthening of ties with Cuba and Russia. That's not good. Again, maybe diplomacy on our part and American diplomacy and the State Department, and maybe even the President of the United States, should be paying attention to the Cuban government and how their relationship and how they are handling this situation with Russia, and what kind of relationship they're propping up with each other. And also, let's not forget that Venezuela, that they seem to be kind of supportive of Russia, and they seem to have very similar geopolitical thoughts or goals. Not to say that they're doing it, but they are not, let's say, number one American fans. They are in communication with Russia, and there is a relationship of some sort with them. What say you, Gary? You know about Venezuela as well too, right?
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's, you know, Venezuela is they are they're not like like us, let's say, like America. They're not your number one democracy and elections, you know, the American way of life. Unlike a lot of Latin America, where we have relations with and we do a lot of stuff with, Venezuela has kind of been buddying up more with Russia over the course of time. Not going to label some specific incidents or anything at this point, because there are none. But we do know that there is communication. And, you know, I don't know. There's been some uprise inside of Venezuela over the years too. There's been uprisings and political discord, et cetera, inside their own country. But again, we shouldn't even even being thinking about that, because we have a lot of discord in our own country right now too. So I believe everybody has a little discord going on. It may seem because we're here in the United States, when you watch the news at, you know, not this station, not this show, but other stations where they might highlight all of the indifferences and fights and arguments and stuff that's going on in the United States. So you might see that and say, wow. And then, but it's going on elsewhere. If you look around the world, everybody's having internal strife. There you go, strife internally, on what who believes in what, and do they want to have a democracy, a republic, whatever. So, again, take that information for what you will. Why I say on the show all the time, you need to stay informed and you need to look and read and pay attention to what's going on. I find it problematic that there is a nuclear Russian submarine within 100 miles of our United States. So I find that to be not frightening, but I find it to be problematic. I don't know if are we doing that now in return? I don't know. Do you know anything further about that, Carrie?
No, I haven't heard anything.
I don't mean to say, I'm not trying to sandbag you when I ask questions, Carrie, just so you know.
Well,
since Bianca had a meeting today, it was nice that you were around to get involved in the analysis here. And, also, I wanted to go on more about this particular situation, but we held back on the show a little bit because I have, there's some additional Supreme Court movement. So I'm going to pull up the last minute notes I made on that. And that was not even going to be in the show today. So that's kind of like, boom, here it is. So the United States Supreme Court today made a major ruling on the Second Amendment, firearms. The Supreme Court struck down a New York law that required individuals to demonstrate a special need for self-defense in order to be approved for a concealed carry permit. Let me put this in easier terms, folks. So some states have what they call a need to carry, and New Jersey, New York is a reason. You have to provide a need, a necessity on why you need to carry. And other states fall under the guise of they will find a need for you not to carry, meaning you have a reason, a mental health issue, a felony that disqualifies you, something like that. So some states are a need to prove why you need, and other states are we're going to prove why you can't. So the Supreme Court basically heard this case in a 6-3 decision, and it was released today, hours ago, before this show, which is why the show is a short show today. So bear with that. But they released that decision 6-3. And basically, Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, wrote the opinion. And basically, the court ruled that requiring a need to possess a concealed carry permit is unconstitutional. Basically, Clarence Thomas wrote that the Second Amendment protects the carrying of firearms in public for self-defense. Historically, their analysis shows that there has been a broad tradition of restricting this right. Henceforth, it has now been brought to court by multiple people, not just one particular case, but a lot of people have challenged this in lower courts. Well, it trickled its way up to the Supreme Court, and they ruled that it is unconstitutional to do that. Because remember, the Second Amendment, the people have a right to bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. I'm going to repeat, shall not be infringed. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, felt that showing a need is an infringement because we have a broad blanket constitutional amendment, number 2, 2A, that grants you that right. So they ruled that New York State, this law was unconstitutional, showing a need. Now, they ruled on New York State, but Stare decisis, legal term of the day. Prior cases, that's what that means, case law. Means other people now in other states will have to look at this decision on how they are running their concealed carry permit programs, etc. You know, states similar to similar like California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, etc. I'm sure there are going to be plenty of challenges going forth in those states. Those are very tough gun states, and you know, New York is one of them. So now here we are with this situation. The court reviewed historical sources all the way back from beginning of time all the way through. They found that nobody else, no other time was there any mention anywhere that was going to prohibit the firearms, carrying of firearms. Now, some states may require you to apply for a permit, and some states have what they call constitutional carry, meaning your Second Amendment right in the Bill of Rights. In this book right here, Declaration of Independence and U.S. Constitution, and Second Amendment, gun rights, some states say you have the right to just carry based on that. Some states say you can carry open carry without a permit, but if you want to conceal it, you have to apply for a permit. And it's just a matter of fingerprints and et cetera. So that was the, you know, that is significant because this is going to change a lot of stuff with a lot of other states. I don't really know how that's going to come into play. It is fresh news today, folks. This was like fresh today. So how it's going to play, we all are in this together. What do you think, Gary? What do you think about the this opinion? Do you support it, or do you not want to give an opinion? What do you think?
I live in Arizona. And we have it's truly the Wild West sometimes. So
right, the OK Corral,
I'd prefer to be able to see that you have it versus not knowing.
I come from the school of thought that firearms, you need to understand how to operate it. You need to understand the damage that it can cause. There's significant things that are involved. I don't think we should take any rights away, but I believe that you should have a requisite knowledge of the firearm, a requisite understanding of what its capabilities are. People pull triggers, not firearms. So you need to have your brain in check, but you also need to know how it operates. And you also need to know how to properly carry and store with locks and children and all that other stuff. There are some exclusions. Obviously, you cannot bring firearms into federal buildings, schools, et cetera, like that. That has just been, that it wasn't even open for discussion here in this. But to piggyback on what you said, Gary, you know, that I understand what you're saying about seeing it. But then having it being seen is like automatic, like, okay, there it is. And somebody else might, I don't want to say be threatened by it, because you know what? We're allowed to have them in the United States. But in certain situations, it may, having it visible may elevate the situation. Imagine you're in the mall or a store, and you're, let's say you, Gary, you're in the store, and you got a 9mm on your side, visible, open in public, right? And some instance occurs where somebody else is maybe doing a robbery or something, and you're in that store. It may not even be a real gun. They may not have had any intentions of doing anything with this gun. It might have just been for show for that crime. But for then they look over and see you armed, and now they get nervous, and it now takes the situation from a 3 or 4 on a 1 to 10 to a 7, 8, or 9, because now they become threatened. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I mean, I hear your side. I'm just saying the enemy unknown is really, really kind of one of those statements where the enemy unknown is better than the enemy known. I would prefer to assume that everybody has a weapon. So I would hope that somebody on the public would say that and say, oh, you know, let me not do this because everybody has a gun or some sort of weapon. than to definitely know or not know. You feel what I'm saying? Did that make sense? I don't want to.
Oh, like, I understand both sides of it. It's just, you know, it's sometimes, you know, it's just unnerving when you know, all of a sudden stand next to somebody and, you know,
right,
they move and you can see that they have a gun. It's like, okay, this is just the place I don't want to be.
No, I see it, people where having it in open public, you know, and it's legal in most places. I personally I'm not a fan of doing that, but it for each his own. I guess at the end of the day, it's a personal decision on that, as long as your state, whatever guidelines they have. But remember, the states cannot do what the Constitution says you can do. They can't take that away from you. That's why this case made it to the Supreme Court and it was found unconstitutional, because that document, those amendments are written in stone and you can't legislate above that and take that out. So that's where this went into play. There's some statistics on crimes and stuff, but there's another interesting case that I want to throw in. That wasn't discussed today, but there was there's two cases, actually. Two topics or arguments here. One was the right to carry and the need to carry. The other one was the bump stock, which allows for more rapid firing of a weapon. Former President Trump, after, if you remember, Carrie, the shooting at the country music concert in Las Vegas, and yes, the person was in a higher level of a casino hotel, punched out the mm-hmm. window and started firing into the crowd. You remember that?
Yes, very much.
Well, that was during the Trump administration, and he basically put a ban on the bump stock, and the bump stock was allowing the firearm to be shot more projectiles. I'm not exactly sure the science on that. So for bots and trolls out there, I don't know the science. I personally have never used a bump stock. I don't even know if I've even seen one other than on TV. You know, I don't have any experience with that particular item. But they ruled on that as well and found that they reversed that Trump decision. And then there was another decision which really is interesting. It's out of the Ninth Circuit, Ninth Federal Circuit, which is in California, and it covers a large section of the United States. And that particular case ruled on, and the next level after the Ninth Circuit is the Supreme Court. So this is a major case. This case that went through in the Ninth Circuit looked at the ATF and federal codes rule on a person with a felony conviction no longer being afforded the right to carry. Did you know about that, Carrie?
I guess is the short answer to that.
Yeah. So they ruled that was unconstitutional because if it's not a violent crime, then and you come out of you know how the law was written. Let me give a little back stuff on, and then we have to give a hard stop on the show because we ran late. The ruling, what the ATF was, it's not so much the felony conviction, because there also is the Lautenberg Act, which bars people from firearms if they have a conviction for domestic violence or they are currently under a domestic violence restraining order. And that neither of those could be a felony. They could be, one is a civil, the restraining order, and domestic violence is a misdemeanor offense. So it's not a felony. But that, under the Lautenberg Act, from former Senator Lautenberg out of New Jersey, that act prohibited people from possessing firearms who have those things. Then under the United States Code, with the ATF, which we did an episode last week on ATF. The ATF enforced people with the felon rule, but it's really if your crime that you committed would have put you in jail for more than 365 days. So it's technically not the felony rule. Now, the general rule of thumb across the board is if the offense that you commit is could imprison you for more than a year, it is generally considered a felony, an indictable offense. But there are some that cross over the one-year mark and they don't technically fit the statute of a felony somewhere. So the federal government was very broad in this statute saying if the offense somebody committed and they were pled guilty or found guilty of would have given them more than a year in confinement, prison or jail, then they are barred from firearms. That is what this case looked at. And that is considered sort of the felony rule. So if it is nonviolent charges and convictions, and you are free of probation, free of parole, you are a citizen, then you are of the people. And that was the term they used here, of the people. Of the people, you are part of the people. Your right to vote is reinstated when you're back as a productive member of society. So therefore, if you are safe to be on the street and you're free and clear of whatever this offense was that you were found guilty of, whether through plea bargain or jury or bench trial, whatever it might be, then you would be able to, would have been prior to this decision, this Ninth Circuit decision, would have been unable to possess firearms unless if the state that you were charged in restored your rights, which meant you would have had to have petitioned the court requesting your firearms privileges be restored. Well, the Ninth Circuit case said that if it's nonviolent, and what's interesting enough is that the individual on this particular case had like five convictions or something like that, and they were nonviolent, but one of them was even eluding law enforcement, like running from police. They construed that all as nonviolent. So this case won, and this gentleman now would be allowed to possess firearms. Since that's the Ninth Circuit, and that covers a large majority of the United States, this case will end up at the Supreme Court, and they will either decide whether to strike down the Ninth Circuit's decision and go back to the way it was, where if you were going to be in for more than a year, you would not have a firearm. But if they don't strike it down and the Supreme Court rules on it, it'll be law of the land. And then that will like be a major change with these three decisions that we just talked about. Major pro-gun rights. However you may see it as an individual, this is a win for gun rights advocates. What say you, Carrie, on a final note, because we have to hard stop here because we are holding out on news?
I think there's a lot of good information right there. Some stuff right? I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people tune in, right? We give it to you real. And I want to cover it. I wanted to cover it in more depth, folks, but I was literally teeter-tottering on the decision and waiting to see when it was coming out. And we had minutes to make a call whether to go forward with the show without the decision released or if I could hold back the show and have the decision. So I made an executive decision myself and my production to hold back the show a little bit. And I believe the little bit of lost time in today's show the additional information makes up for that loss, I believe. But yes, we will be giving you a full show again on Monday, folks, and it'll be the full hour. With that said, I thank you very much for coming to the show. Pay attention, 360, 365. 360, keeping your head on a swivel, 365 days a week, folks. Sinatti's always looking out for you, but I can't be everywhere. I may hear you, but I may not be able to see you. Folks, stick with us. Come back. Check us out on social media, The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Love to hear from you. Have a great weekend. There will be re-airs over the weekend. Check them out. Enjoy it. We'll see you with a fresh show on Monday. Again, thank you very much. What can I say? Enjoy your weekend.
voice. Tonight he hears you. Use your voice. Let it be heard. Use your voice. Tonight he hears you. Use your voice.
Thank you for listening to The Hostile Zone. Because in Sonati's Zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.
That's right, folks. Sonati heard you. Love your country.